to expand some of the programming at two of the ACHAN clinics related to nutrition and physical activity. And then all of a sudden, everything changes. And even though we were in place to sort of expand programs, not only were the programs not being expanded, the providers that were in our partnership were, well, I don't even want to say were, they are, they transitioned out. So that was very, and our partnership is no more. So what we wanted to do in our partnership, as well with and some other faculty members, not only at NIU but at UIC, I grabbed a colleague of mine, some graduate students, a community outreach worker, somebody who worked at Project Brotherhood. What we wanted to do is try to mobilize and get some folks together to do a survey and talk to patients so we could prepare a statement to the Cook County Board. And so this is where that work came from. So I want to talk a little bit about the results of the survey, but I also want to talk from a researcher's perspective, because when you get involved in a community partnership, our partnership started with no money. It was basically social capital. I knew Petey. The providers had the same view. And, you know, I grew up on the South Side. We're going to try to get together and do something. And then all of a sudden, you know, Dr. Murray was very supportive. Mildred was very supportive. And, again, as I said, instead of moving towards getting money to support programs, we ended up needed money to support basic things and for people to actually keep their positions. So the purpose was really to understand patients' perceptions of the proposed changes to ACHN health services and then their current access to care. We had four clinics. We wanted to look at two that were recommended for closure, and then two that were not recommended for closure. Because one of the things that the providers talked about was that even if those clinics don't close, that there was going to be a shift in the services provided, that people were going to probably leave, or that the burden would be greater because the providers would need to do more. Okay. So we interviewed 109 patients. We developed a structured survey. It was interviewer administered. What we tried to do is get some diversity of clinics. We found out, and I wasn't even aware of it, that there was a small clinic in a hospital up north that had a very diverse group of patients. So we went up north to interview those patients, and then we went to one of the suburban clinics, and then two of the clinics that we worked with before. The patients range from 19 to 82 years of age, and with a mean of about 59 years of age. About 71% of the patients were female, 29 were male. 66 were African American, 17 Caucasian, 8% Hispanic and Latino, 9% Asian, and 3% Native American. So we tried to get some diversity. And then almost about half of the patients had a household income that was less than $10,000. Okay. So most of the patients either had a high school diploma or some technical, some college or technical school. One of the things that struck the interviewers, particularly the graduate students, is when they started talking to these patients, they realized that they could be these patients. Some of these patients were self-employed. Some had jobs and lost the positions. We talked with a woman on the phone because when we went out to some of the clinics, they had patients that wanted to provide input. They called some patients. And to hear the stories was striking because you really felt like, wait a minute, you know, one check away, that will be me. There was a variety of experiences that patients had. So about 37% actually had insurance. Because a lot of these patients were older, some of the older patients had Medicare. About 61% indicated not having insurance, and 3% were unaware if they had insurance. And so there was sort of a range with some of these things, because some of the patients that we interviewed were younger. And it seems like the younger patients were actually, they, as far as insurance status and income, they were kind of more, they had less resources. Some of the older patients had more chronic disease, but they had a little more, I don't even want to say resources, may not be the right term, but I think just had a different experience in the sense that they, well, I guess maybe resources, but, you know, Linda could probably talk more to that as we go through. About 38% of the patients had diabetes. 38% had hypertension. Again, older patients had more chronic disease. And even though it's only about 24% had depression and anxiety, we found a lot of the younger patients had more depression and anxiety. So as far as results, most of the patients were kind of established in the health center. That was their main the main location where they received health services. So 65% of the patients we interviewed used the ACHN clinic where we interviewed them at least 4 to 6 times in the last year. About 83% of patients reported that they usually see the same provider. And this, we thought, okay, a patient with diabetes, this is perfect. You go, you see the same provider. This is going to provide some cost savings long term because these patients are being managed. About approximately 40% of the patients live within 3 miles of the health center. About 44% travel to the health center using public transportation. And the majority of patients had not used the emergency room because they were in primary care, which is definitely the goal. So we looked at the patients, and we want to compare this to now. If we do get a chance to do this survey again, because somewhere around 75% of the patients felt that in the last 12 months that you ever need care and you couldn't get it. So about 75% of the patients said no. You know, I needed care and I could get it. And it sort of reflects the fact that many of these were county patients. Of those that couldn't get care, about 55% of the folks said that they couldn't afford it. About 45% said that they couldn't get an appointment soon enough. About 36% said once you get there, you have a long wait. And about 18% couldn't get through on the telephone. And one reason why we looked at this, and there was a lot of discussion about the schoolhouse centers as well, was that these clinics were not being used. And we thought, from sort of a personal standpoint, I thought that that was the strangest thing, because every time I was in the clinic, there was tons of people in the clinic. So we wanted to look at those that were interested in getting care, and some of these may have been patients that only visited the health center one time, to see if there was a need for even more services. So it seems like that from this perspective, we came to the conclusion that the services should actually be expanded versus reduced. About 67% indicated that they currently didn't have access to dental care. Dental services was sort of one of the main services that was up for up to be eliminated. 70% of the patients had not seen a dentist in over 3 years, and approximately 30% of the patients reported that they delayed dental care because they couldn't afford it. So when we went out, we also asked patients basically, you know, what are you going to do? What do you think about the changes? What are you going to do if the clinics close or if your provider leaves? Okay. So as far as perceptions of the changes, you know, a lot of the people felt, you know, I think this is awful. It's a slap in the face for people who can't get medical services that they need. Closing is terrible. We voted for the man who is closing us down. So a lot of this was directed, even though Dr. Fagan talked about how this was sort of in the works over time, a lot of this was directed at the change in leadership in the Cook County Board. They should hang the commissioner. No one cares about poor folks. And, you know, some of the people we talked to, as you would expect, that their health services was, they felt that the health services were changing. I mean, they were virtually in tears because they were going to lose their provider and they didn't know what they were going to do. Some other people were more like, we need to organize or we need to do other things, or I'm just going to have to try to fend for myself. So somebody didn't think about the people. Money is the issue. These patients don't have insurance. Do they expect them to die off one by one? Would they like to be in our shoes? Calumet City is a long ride to the next one. So we asked the patients if ACHN changes, what were they going to do? About 57% said that they felt that they would not be able to get the needed medical tests. About 62% felt that they would face a financial hardship. 57% were sad and depressed, and 54% were angry. Over half felt that they would not be able to get the needed care. And then medication was brought up by several of the patients. And then about 60% felt that they will not be able to manage their health condition. So as far as open-ended responses, people said, I have no clue, I don't know, that we should rally in protest. And somebody said, you know, I don't know. It was basically, you know, let me come up with an idea. I'm going to try to find insurance, you know, find another clinic. But when you ask people, you know, well, where? Do you have any thoughts? Do you have, you know, any plans? It was basically like, you know, I made it this far, I'm just going to have to make it.